Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Orient Cement Q1 FY23 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krupal Maniar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good morning and a warm welcome to everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you to the first quarter FY23 earnings call of Orient Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Deepak Khetrapal, MD and CEO of the company. At this point of time, I will hand over the floor to Mr. Deepak Khetrapal for his opening remarks, which will be followed by interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Krupal. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to our investors call that we host every quarter now. Thank you for sparing your time to come and listen to us. I just need to inform you that today Soumitra Bhattacharya, our CFO, has not been able to join me on this call because he actually is in a hospital and he's undergoing some small surgery. I am here, and Manish Agarwal from our company is here with me on the call. To start with, let me say, I mean, this time we are doing a call with a days or weekends break because I had some other board meetings in the meantime. I'm sure you've had ample time to go through the results of our Q1 that we announced on Thursday. I'll take this opportunity to provide some perspective on the numbers. But before that, I would like to touch upon, I think, the most exciting development that has happened in the just last few days. On the day of the board meeting, we also announced that the stock exchange. All of us have been waiting literally with bated breath for our mines in Rajasthan to be restored to us, which has been a matter of not quite litigation, but a matter of some disagreements on how the modalities should work and what kind of charges are payable. I'm delighted to inform all of you that the Rajasthan mines are being restored to us exactly on the terms that we wanted. There's a simple change of name from Orient Paper and Industries Limited to Orient Cement Limited. There's no transfer, no transmission, no fee, no charges, nothing at all. That's how we wanted it. Fortunately, that is now back with us. Congratulations to all our shareholders on having the opportunity to enter perhaps the most robust cement market in the country. We do need to complete a few steps. I need to travel to Udaipur, Chittorgarh area where the mines are, do the supplementary mining leases. The paperwork required has to be completed. Parallelly with that, we are already beginning to gear up for the initial activities that we need to do. As I guess all of you are aware, we have got the mining lease back, but there was no land that we required because it's long ongoing dispute. The first challenge for us in any case is to start acquiring the land and parallelly identifying the land on which the plant will come up in the area of mines and start applying for the necessary environmental clearances and all the other authorizations. We are going to start work on that. The good news is, earlier, which was looking like something which will keep getting delayed because of the attitude that the Rajasthan government had shown in the past, but I'm delighted that that delay is over. Mining lease is back, and it's now up to us how quickly we can complete the land acquisition and the environmental clearances and start the construction of the greenfield capacity. We are very excited at Orient Cement to get this opportunity because we know many of our investors have been concerned about a rather narrow exposure to the markets in India and typically the markets which had a huge supply overhang. With this capacity, as soon as it comes up, I think we would have gained a major goal of diversifying our markets, and a market like and a plant in Rajasthan is as good as it can get. Congratulations to all our shareholders. I think it's a huge value add to what we have in terms of our capacity to keep generating good results in the future. With this mines coming back, does it change our direction of growth? That would be the obvious question. As I said, we still have to complete some papers. Please give us some time to assess the time needed for the acquisition of land and for obtaining the necessary clearances and approvals to set up the capacity. We are of course tempted to put everything else on the slow burner and put the greenfield capacity in Rajasthan on top priority, which it should be. But the practical challenges of a greenfield new capacity need to be factored in. And that's why I'm saying, give me a little more time and I'll maybe come back to you with better timelines and also what will take the top priority and how do we move from here. Coming back to Q1, it's certainly been a quarter that we at Orient Cement also don't like, and I'm sure all of you also don't like. We having had the high of same quarter last year of 188 crores of EBITDA, thereabouts, and 1370-1380 rupees per ton of EBITDA, coming down to by 45% in the overall EBITDA that we earned last year, is certainly not something that we can ever feel happy about. So we've been hit badly by the realities in the market. The markets that we address have not been supportive at all in terms of demand volumes. And when the demand and volumes don't look good, the pricing always becomes very difficult in terms of passing on our increased costs, because costs have kept rising. So we've not been able to pass on the cost, and even the operating leverage has not come to rescue us from the thin margins that the current costs give to us now. As you know, South overall and Telangana, Karnataka, AP markets particularly have had a very lean quarter. And given the very, very heavy and excessive rains in these markets, again, even July has seen soft volumes. So obviously it's now in the throes of a very heavy monsoon season. And in the absence of, demand triggers in the southern markets like the Kaleshwaram phase 2 that we've been expecting to be brought up, but now I think it may happen with a little bit of delay only once the Telangana government is able to rustle up the resources that it needs. It's a project that they're committed to. Whenever that gets triggered, it will be a major boost to the demand in our market. Any other major project is not looking likely to come up, and that's been a bit of a dampener on the southern markets. I'm sure if we go by the results that have been announced by the rest of our industry colleagues, there are some parts of the country, like North, for example, Center, for example, even in the West, the markets like Mumbai, Gujarat, there are some really good tailwinds in terms of market demand. And obviously, the pricing improvement, many companies have reported significant growth volumes in growth and also significant gain in the pricing that they've been able to realize from the market, which is a good sign for everybody in the industry. But unfortunately, we've been caught in a market where this support was missing. And we do need to catch up with the demand uptick and thereby have the opportunity to recover the increased costs from our customers. Besides the lack of demand momentum, as we know, which has been a regional challenge, I mean, it's not been a pan-India challenge because, as I mentioned, some of the markets have seen very robust demand growth. The challenge for the industry across our country is the heightened cost of fuel and several other inputs. When variable costs are pushed up like this, and the market lags the demand momentum of volumes, as we know, the opportunity to pass on the increased cost of the market gets severely constrained. The results announced by many big companies clearly reflect this trend. Even people with very, very large increase in volumes with significant gain in pricing, even they have had to report a decline in the overall profitability. Which is worrisome, because if large volumes and decent price increases also are resulting in drops in EBITDA over last year, we all need to be concerned about. But I guess it's a function of the prices taking a little bit downward trend that needs to bail us out. And the good news is that the last few weeks we have all, and we also keep hearing through all the analysts also who keep track of what the markets are, the fuel prices seem to have softened a little bit over the last few weeks. $10, $15, $20 a ton we hear, depending on what's the source of the fuel that we are trying to import. And that is a good sign. And as we eat into the inventories that we've piled up as of now, that improvement in cost will start kicking in. But then, would they very quickly fall to levels which were a few months ago? That's unlikely, because even if they fall, by the time that cheaper fuel starts flowing into our operations, there is always a lag, because we obviously cover fuels in advance. Given the markets that we are in, I think at Orient Cement, we can't wish away the reality that we have in front of us. And we've had results which leave us disappointed, as much as I'm sure they leave all the shareholders and analysts disappointed. We've had a barely 1% growth in volumes over first quarter last year. which looks quite honestly under par even for our markets. Could we have done some more volumes? Perhaps we could have, but then the challenge was that the additional business that we would have booked would have come even more from the B2B side, where the prices were not giving us enough joy to do business. And similarly, there are some markets that we do farther south, for example, or even toward the central market and the markets, the costs that we have and the prices that were available there did not allow us to even use of the something opportunities which are available in markets which were there but not quite remunerative. So it's 1% growth is a function of partly the market being soft, partly our own the strategy that we've been adopting for the last many quarters of doing only a business where a threshold level of realizations and therefore contributions is available. Despite sharp increases in costs, the blended realizations for us have, as you guys have seen, has been a very modest, just over 2%. Even sequentially, it's the increase is less than 5%. Our total costs are higher by 20% year on year, nearly 11% over Q4. The thing to note here is that if we look at our total costs over same quarter last year, while the total costs per ton are higher by around 743 rupees a ton, out of that, everything, excepting maybe 100 rupees, was 640 odd rupees coming straight out of just power and fuel increase. While over last year it looks large, but we have to also factor in the fact that even today, our power and fuel costs are just over 1600 rupees a ton. Is perhaps amongst the best that the industry is seeing, because I'm seeing many companies reporting their power and fuel costs well above our cost despite the huge increase that we've also suffered. We seem to manage these costs relatively better, comparatively speaking. But like I said, there's no joy when you start seeing the cost of only power and fuel being higher than the total cost of clinker that we've had a few quarters ago. So it's a worrisome scenario for the markets, but I guess that's a function of what's happening globally on the energy prices. The 100 odd rupees, the gap that I said is, which is the other cost increase, include the increments to people, it includes our investments in brands that we've obviously done a little more than what we had done in the previous 2 years of COVID. So that always kicks in. One of the other I would say, challenging features of the Q1 has been that the slowdown in the trade segment or the B2C segment in our markets has been much sharper, and if we've been able to gain some volume increase over last year, that's come largely through the B2B business. And B2B business also, which is towards large projects where the OPC component tends to be higher. And when the OPC component is higher, it does tend to impact the power and fuel cost per ton. So when we are reporting increase over last year, it's also factored in the fact that it's also because we sold OPC in this quarter compared to what we did either in the last quarter, same year, the last year, same quarter, or even the previous quarter to this quarter. Our EBITDA, as you people have seen, has dropped from 188 crores to 103 crores with very similar volumes. And the EBITDA per ton from 1384 last year has come down to 750. As I said, what can be more disappointing than this? But like I said, we are in business, and the one quarter does not make or mar us, so we have to keep working. But I think all of us would concede, like I said earlier, last year's EBITDA and EBITDA per ton, it didn't look sustainable. None of us, I think, expected that to continue. But even then, I have to admit that the numbers for the quarter are disappointing. There is no getting away from it, and I am the first one to acknowledge that. We are trying our best to, as I said, to cope with the situation, which seemed to have got only worse due to extremely heavy rains in the month of July in all of our markets, which are obviously putting pressures on not just volumes, but resultantly even on prices already. Just a quick summary of the highlight numbers: volume up 1% over YOY and drop of nearly 12% quarter on quarter. Revenues are up by 3%, down 11% sequentially. The saving grace is that our premium product, Strongcrete, actually has been doing steadily. And in the last quarter, we have, despite poor B2C demand, we still managed to keep pushing the more expensive product, that is Strongcrete, to the market. and the percentage remains around 14-15, which I think is steady now. To secure the fuel safety, we obviously have had to invest more in our inventories, and also not just start trying to store more fuel, even trying to sort of, even looking at the inflation in price per ton, even if you have similar volumes, the prices are a lot higher. So on our books, the inventories look a lot higher, not just of raw materials and fuels, but we also had large inventories at the end of June because we had more clinker than we started the quarter with. So obviously there is a little bit of inventory impact there. And the higher B2B sales has also been a factor, which I thought I'll call out, but that also means that compared to the trade segment, B2B sales always involve a longer credit period in the markets. And the overall pressure we've had, therefore, on our working capital has finally led to our having to borrow money once again from the banking system of the working capital requirements, which for, I think, last many, I don't remember when we borrowed money on working capital from the banks. But we've had the facilities, we've had the limits, we've started drawing on that. We are making sure that we remain secure about, number one, the fuel inventory, and number two, also that we are able to service the demand that exists in the market. So as a result of that, I think on the debt front, the plans that we had to very quickly repay the entire term loan that we had, they obviously have not proceeded at the pace that we would have wished if the cash flows had remained around the levels that we've had in the past many quarters. And in the meantime, as we know, the entire cash generation that we were having, we've been prepaying. I mean, even in the month of December, we prepaid a very large amount of the total project that we had. So when the working capital needs come in, we have not been carrying free cash with us. So as a net result, I think on the 30th June, our project loan, which was a term loan, while that has come down to 259 crores, but we also had to borrow on net basis about 160 crores from the banking system on the working capital limit side. So that's the debt position. As I mentioned, the relief is in the form of the fuel prices, which are beginning to look a little soft, although it's too early that the United States, as the demand for energy in Europe and other northern hemisphere in the world comes to, the winter demand for heating starts coming up. Let's see what happens on the supply position of energy from Russia, because that's a big if right now, and how that impacts the energy prices. We can only, talk about what the current prices are looking like. In the meantime, we continue to consolidate and redefine our customer base and channel base, as we've always been reporting to you. Brand presence through more effective and innovative communications, advertising, we are doing, and as I said, this quarter, over the same quarter last year, part of the cost increase is also coming from higher investment in advertising and brand building. Our ground level services, we have to keep strengthening, and that we keep doing in terms of opening more depots, improving our service everywhere. But despite all that, because of the B2B market being more robust than the consumer or the trade sales market, the Q4 blended cement has slipped slightly to just under 60%, and the B2B obviously has been a little over 40%, so there's a 2-3% swing from B2C to B2B side, which leads to higher costs and higher credit in the market. In terms of market mixes, it's fairly steady, but a little bit because there was more opportunity in certain markets in the West, especially markets like Mumbai, which I touched upon earlier. We do have a very small presence in Mumbai. We're trying to take advantage of that, although it's, like I said, we are not as competitive as many other companies who have closer proximity to Mumbai, and they're able to become more competitive given their more moderate logistics cost. So as a result, overall, in the West, we've done in Q1 55% of our volume, South has been 36%, and Central about 9%. The railroad mix, which again, I know it's all on people's mind all the time. During this particular quarter, all of you are well aware of the pressure that railways have been to move coal from the coal mines to the power plants, because the central government, state governments, everybody put pressure on them. Availability of rakes became a major issue, and even if the rakes were available, the terms on which they were making the rakes available by levying really punitive demurrage and forfeit charges, huge penalties. So we also have been trying to see how do we moderate that, and compared to let's say 25% of our volume that we moved by rail in the preceding quarter, Q4 of last year, this quarter has come down to 19%, the same as it was in the same quarter last year, which I guess would be a seasonal phenomenon, because whenever there's extreme summer and the country needs more power to be produced and more coal to be available, I think we'll keep having these interventions from the government authorities to move, to actually make the rakes available to the other industries, unless little less than what the rest of the year might be. So let's wait and see. But for the current quarter that I'm reporting on, it's been a little bit of setback on the rail mix also. Fuel mix for us has obviously swung very largely in favor of petcoke. Our domestic coal, basically our coal in the entire fuel mix has been just about 45%, most of it from the domestic suppliers. A very small residual quantity of imported fuel that we had, coal that we had, we consumed. The petcoke has risen to 42%, and the AFR is at 17%, the alternate fuels that we keep talking about. On the other item, which always is an area of interest for people, especially the analysts who are trying to create a model of how the cash flows might be, given all the challenges that we have, given all the low capacity utilization that we have, we've not pushed our investments as fast as perhaps we were hoping that we will do. And they certainly have, when I'd indicated the projected for FY23 around 800 crores total capex, including maintenance capex, we might run short on that because we still haven't really taken the decision to start the actual physical construction activity for the new brownfield capacity that we had spoken about. We're watching the markets very, very carefully, and we obviously will lose no time at all in putting the capacity when we have a very clear visibility and conviction that the ratio investments that we make in capex will get utilized well, will get absorbed by the market. So we are just watching the market and being a little cautious. That may be a little slow. But at the same time, there's something which we had not indicated earlier. As soon as we are able to complete the paperwork with the government of Rajasthan, obviously we'll start the acquisition of land part in Rajasthan for the mines that now are coming back to us. That might start needing some bit of investment in procurement of land. So that obviously will be, let's say, beyond what you were saying, we'll invest in capex in the current year. So if there's a little bit of slowdown on capex here, but we might need some cash, not as much of cash, because land acquisition, as we know, in India these days has become very, very difficult. Will we be able to buy land in a hurry and spend a lot of money there? I personally wouldn't expect it, although we will try our best, but I don't think land will come that quickly. It's land which is under private occupation. And we have to start the process using the right, I would say, means at our disposal, start acquiring the land. So that's the overall summary, I would say, of Q1 that we've been through. And I'm sure there'll still be some questions which are unanswered, and I'll wait now and hand it over to Kupal and all of you to ask you questions, and let me see what more I can provide you in terms of information. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star in one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. So I have a few questions. Congratulations on winning, getting this Rajasthan mine. So first question is relating to this only. What is the total mining capacity and annual throughput which is possible from this mine, and what timelines you're looking at all? I understand land pulling, you already said, will take a good amount of time, but any ballpark number?
Rajesh, the total capacity when we did the assessment of the limestone there is is in the region of 120, 150 million tons as that's been assessed, and that's why we have said that in all probability we end up setting up a line of about 2 million tons a year, which should give us a life of more than 50 years for the plant. But here I must say that almost it's true of almost every mine that whatever are the initial estimates of limestone reserves, in actual usage when you start doing mining, you get a lot more of that, right? That's known to everyone. So I'm giving you the current plan. That's why the current plan to maybe put up a 2 million ton capacity there. In terms of timelines, I mean, all of us keep hearing based on, you know, what information comes to us through all the, you know, people like you, that a greenfield project, people do say that it takes as much as 5 years to put up if you're starting completely from scratch. We would try and see, because obviously there are going to be pressures from Rajasthan government to start the project faster. So we would need to expedite the every single process to put up the capacity very quickly. Can that happen within 2 years' time? I don't think that's practical. Let's acknowledge that. So but somewhere around 3, 3.5, 4 years is something that would be our target. But lots of things need to fall in place for that to happen. And we will be trying our best for that.
Sure. And this being a greenfield, the costing should not be less than 800 crore. I mean 1600 crore plus capex, if at all a 2 million need to be set up, and being a greenfield.
Yeah, I would, you see, there are a couple of things there. One, obviously, land has become more expensive to expect. So obviously, investment in land will be a little higher. But the saving grace there might be that we do not need any more, given the overall power situation in the country. We may not need to put up a CPP that much. And I think even railway siding investments may not be very large, because that area is fairly well developed, and the distance of private railway, you know, siding that you build may not be as big. So there are a few of these details that need to obviously be factored in. But ballpark, everybody does believe that a greenfield 2 million ton project should cost you about 1,500-1,600 crores. You're right.
Okay. This is one. And you mentioned that, you know, your capex for the brownfield Jewapur is not progressing. You know, you're going slow and cautious on that. So for FY23, what are the status on the Tiroda plant, Jewapur, and also on the 10 megawatt WHR?
The two plants, that two, I would say the cost-saving projects, as we call them, the waste recovery plant is proceeding on schedule. And we are, we seem to be doing well, and we'll commission the plant within Q4 of this financial year, and that should start benefiting us from the first quarter of next financial year. That's what we've said, and we're sticking to that. Similarly, to improve our costing and also availability of fly ash at Chittapur, which all, you know, in the past has suffered because of the close-by plant shutting down. There, the rake handling system for fly ash is also under construction as per schedule. And that also will be completed within this financial year. When I talked about the other capex, which is more towards capacity expansion, right? So which is the brownfield of Devapur, which has to support the grinding unit at Tiroda.
Correct.
We want to have obviously a clarity on the Tiroda execution first, because if we put up a line for at Devapur, it's largely to be able to address and support another grinding unit. There's no point in putting up additional clinker line ahead of the grinding capacity.
Okay.
Right? So from that perspective, the Tiroda clearances are still a work in process. While some of the permissions have already come in, like we have for the railway siding, we got some approval. Just a minute. We also got the approval from the power authorities to consume power during the time of construction. So many approvals required. One of the key things that we are waiting for is the permission for subleasing of the MIDC land on which the Tiroda unit has to come. So these are unfortunately the prerequisites before starting the construction of the grinding unit there. And we are all working on that.
Okay.
Yeah, but as you would agree, because to meet my current requirements around the markets, my current clinker capacity is good enough.
I
think all of you would agree that our capacity expansion in line 4 and Devapur should happen coinciding with the grinding unit becoming available.
I agree, sir. Because you already have surplus capacity, so these delays won't hurt your near-term growth for sure.
Absolutely.
So now what are your FY23 targets for capex number? Any number that you're looking at?
I have not looked at because, like I said, we were from the time the Rajasthan mining leaders come out, I've just been in various board meetings and AGMs. I'm just finishing that. In the next 2-3 weeks, I think we'll get a better idea. And then I'll, rather than shooting for a number just like that, let me just take a little bit of time from all of you and then revert with that information.
And one last question on the costing of fuel. If you could share what was the per kilocal costing for you in Q1 and how did it fare against March quarter performance?
Well, the entire cost increase that we reported, in the power unit cost has actually come from per kilocal, which is the blended cost of the calories consumed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing else. I mean, not that in terms of our efficiency, in fact, we've been better than the previous quarter. So the entire increase that you see, you calculate the percentage over last year, you have the percentage. This time we are at 1600 something, so it's nearly 60% increase there. Blended cost I don't have in front of me, and plant wise I have, but I don't share plant wise cost.
No, I don't need plant wise, sir. Blended just because we are, if you could give us, where do we stand in Q2 versus Q1 on the costing side, fuel costing, because fuel cost, last 3-4 months have been only going up, and the recent pull off will have a positive impact in subsequent quarters. But Q2, is it fair to assume that cost inflation will continue quarter on quarter?
Quite honestly, Rajesh, the way our current costs are looking, I'm not saying they will soften over the Q1, I don't think Q2 is likely to see any noticeable increase. That's not the...
Okay. Great. Great, sir. Thank you. I'll come back and see you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. So my first question is around the Rajasthan unit. You mentioned the potential 2 million ton capacity. So is that a clinker capacity that you're talking about, or the cement?
No, I'm talking about the cement capacity there.
Okay, but with the 120, 150 million ton limestone, I think shouldn't there be a 3.5-4 million ton kind of a cement capacity that should be feasible?
Look, we can always, as I mentioned, when we start doing the actual mining, this is your exploration, our estimated reserve. If it does become viable to have a larger capacity, we can always add one more line. Rather assuming the reserves and suddenly putting up large capacity and being disappointed, I think the more cautious approach might be that we build up a smaller plant and add another line if we think we have enough limestone.
Sure.
Let's not forget it also, we're entering a new market, in a market where there are very large competitors already there. It gives us time to find our footing, start gaining the market share in a market which obviously is not going to be easy for us to get market share from. So I think if we make investments in smaller phases, even if it looks a little more expensive investment per ton, but in terms of utilization and returns on capital, it might turn out to be a better strategy. That's what my view is.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. On that approval that you've received for the transfer, is there some timeline by when you need to start the limestone mining there? Like, is it 3 or 4 years? Is there some timeline attached to that?
No, you see, I'll be honest with you, I haven't signed anything with the government yet. They have just passed an order saying that those mines are being restored to our incident. Typically, we know when, like I said, in the next couple of weeks, once they have done the internal paperwork, we will be signing a formal agreement with the government based on the order which has been already passed by the minister. I do believe that from their side, they will try to put pressure on. I'm expecting it to be over 3 years. But we've had this discussion with the government authorities, and they have said that if we see your serious intent to put up the plant in terms of how much progress you have made on every front, we will be flexible around it. Although they will not put it in writing, but they've said that if we see that you've already committed and you're making large investments, we could be a little flexible. But right now, there would be a constraint of, I think, maximum 3 years they will allow us.
Okay, sure. And lastly, on this Devapur expansion, so earlier timeline was March 24, so should we, say now that it will be difficult by March 24 and possibly we should look at maybe 6 months to 12 months delayed than that?
When you say possible, I think we perhaps putting it as if we are not able to do it. I'm saying we are choosing not to do it. So there's a little bit of difference. It's a question of like, are we making a conscious choice or are we running into a problem that we can't meet the FY24, right? The deadline we could have met the Q4 line brownfield expansion. But unless I am 100% sure of my new grinding unit becoming available to me to consume the additional clinker, we think it might be wiser to first have a full fix on the grinding unit and then in parallel build the grinding and build the clinker capacity.
Okay.
So yes, we could delay it. I mean, how much time again? I as of now, I'm still waiting to get a clearer thing because the grinding unit construction time will be 15 to 18 months. We know that, right? We haven't even started the basic work there. And that's why I'm saying by FY24, or in fact, I was thinking that maybe in FY24, the last quarter, maybe the grinding unit will already be available and parallelly my clinker capacity will come up. That's looking a little doubtful because all the necessary approvals that we need, for which we are working along with Adani's, they're trying to help us as much as they can, but some of these processes are taking longer. Maybe at this moment, my own guess is that maybe 6 months beyond what my original estimate was, not more than that.
Got it. And last question for me, like, we've seen so much of inflation on the fuel side of things, but for some reason, the pricing has actually not moved up in the last almost 4, 5, 6 months. So why is that so? Like, one would generally expect it to be passed on at least partly, if not fully.
Yeah. No, Amit, if we see the parts of the Indian market which have seen demand growth, the costs have been passed on to the customer to a very large extent. It's only in the markets where the demand has been very, very sluggish, then the markets push you back. And then what happens is that each one of us, wanting not to lose operating leverage, we want to book some volumes, and we start booking business at a price without the cost being passed on, because if we don't do that business, we'll be hurt even more. So it has to be accompanied by some bit of robustness in the demand. But with the monsoon, which are looking very good right now, the normal sense that we've seen is post a very good monsoon, normally we see a good demand pickup. So let's hope that once the monsoon gets over and the project work start again, it will give us the opportunity. But without the demand being there, it's very difficult to be able to pass on these costs.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Jain from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello. Yeah. So just a few questions from my side. In the last couple of years, our EBITDA per ton has been around, 1,100, whereabouts. So ignoring the quarterly impact that we've had, in this quarter and Q1 of last quarter, is this sustainable? And what is driving the sustainability of EBITDA per ton?
Look, in the previous nearly 2 years that we're talking about, the EBITDA became possible largely from the pricing that the market offered to us, right? As we've seen, although we are saying prices have been under pressure, they have not gone down. And cement industry, we've seen times where even the prices have gone down from the previous time. So as of now, as I mentioned in the previous to the previous question, the demand that we see in the market normally should be rising in a couple of months' time, a few weeks' time as the monsoon gets over. With the demand decreasing, obviously our effort will be to able to pass on these increased costs to the markets, and the moment we are able to do that, costs are already being incurred, they are being booked. Any increase from the market that we're able to get on pricing will straight away come to the bottom line. So the only thing which we are missing right now to sustain our performance, see, on every other parameter that we have internally in the company, whether it's efficiencies, any KPI that we pick up, we are getting better all the time.
Right.
The only thing which has gone missing is the pricing that we need to pass on the cost. Let's hope that if not in this particular quarter that we are in Q2, which would remain impacted by the monsoon overall, I'm hoping that the next quarter onward we'll start seeing an uptick in prices. Because we look, the fact is structurally, whichever segment of the market in India today has seen good demand, you've also seen good pricing there. So it's that correlation we need to sort of get back. The demand has to come, and that should give us an opportunity to recover our costs.
Okay. So, sir, I was asking more from a perspective of, you know, we have this strategy change that we've done to push, you know, more of Strongcrete. So just also on that, I wanted to know, like, over the last 3 or 5 years, how has the, you know, mix of trade and non-trade moved? And what is the sustainability of the same?
The as far as trade to from non-trade to trade, we actually were a company which were doing close to 60% in non-trade and 40% in trade, which over a period we reversed that completely. And even in a bad quarter like this, I've reported 60% trade and 40% non-trade, which is the reversal even in a bad quarter. Otherwise, we started going up to, there have been quarters we've done 64-65% in trade and obviously the balance in B2B side. So that strategy is playing out. The premium product, as I mentioned, Strongcrete, is done well enough for us to gain further confidence. And that is one product on which, while earlier, I don't know whether you were in those calls, many of the people on this call had known that we were charging a premium of 35 rupees on our PPC cost on Strongcrete. We've been encouraged by the market response, and in fact, fairly recently, that pricing premium we moved up from 35 rupees to 45 rupees. Because that's the product which is now established in the market. Consumers know the merit of using that product and how it benefits their overall construction. So we are beginning to get better there. But in a quarter when B2C demand total falls, the total obviously, and then we have to make up for some capacity utilization using the B2B segment, which otherwise we may not have looked at.
Right. Okay. We're
not in a seller's market. I mean, let's face it. We have to live with the reality of the market.
Right. Sir, this one last question. I think in your last few con calls, you had mentioned that to change the two kilns in Devapur so that it can use pet coke, it won't be viable to, you know, incur that capex. Just wanted to understand the economics of that. Like, what is the capex and you know, what is the kind of payback period we're looking at, and why it's you know, unsustainable?
I'll tell you. Let's get the again. If there's a confusion, let me try and clarify. Devapur's advantage is it's very close to coal mines, so the cost, blended cost of coal at Devapur is so low that for pet coke, even from domestic market, for it to be transported to our plant is uncompetitive. Okay. So that's one challenge. Because a challenge is to say it's an opportunity. When the domestic coal is available in abundance, it's the best benefit you can have.
Right.
So in that sense, to equip and to increase capex on the kilns and developer to consume pet coke, which it is, when it is a more expensive fuel, how does that make sense?
Right.
Only if pet coke turns out landed cheaper at Devapur, then we must make the investment, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the key. I'll tell you, when you are talking about capex, the limitation comes in the form of the grinding capacity of the coal mills that we have. Because coal mills have a certain capacity to grind, okay? Pet coke comes with a different hardness and different reaction to grinding. If we want more pet coke to be used, we may have to actually replace our coal mills, which is not a small investment at all. And for what purpose? Because pet coke is not even cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole logic.
Okay. Understood, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Asha Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on getting the mining lease back, sir. My question is that, as you explained, that Devapur brownfield may take some more time. So can we, and we might also meanwhile have thoughts about setting up a capacity at greenfield capacity at Rajasthan. So can we see a situation wherein, because of the fact that we already have slightly excess capacity at our Devapur clinker capacities, we can sort of like exit the plan altogether of Devapur expansion and focus only on the Rajasthan new greenfield capacity?
No, I don't see the possibility of Rajasthan replacing the need for further expansion at Devapur. I don't expect that to happen. Sequentially, I mean, like I said, my wish list would be if I could do Rajasthan faster. I would anytime love to have it. But replacing that, we have enough limestone and the markets that our Devapur plant in Telangana serves will also have their growth, and having the limestone mines with you, why would you not want to use them over a period of time? So we'll not, we'll not give up on that expansion, no.
So in sense of timeline, first it would be Devapur, even if, because meanwhile we will need some time to do complete with the land acquisition and stuff.
Yeah, see, it's like this. Devapur is something that we can start at our discretion anytime. As long as I'm sure that there's a grinding unit which will consume it, I have no problem in starting Devapur's expansion plan. In Rajasthan also, the plan is we will try and ask the government to support us in land acquisition also. We will try for that. How much support we are able to elicit from the state government will determine how quickly we can put up the new capacity, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and that's why when the question was being asked, I did say that, give me a couple of months' time in which I'll be able to assess what kind of support is available to us from the government side also, because having given us the mine, they also want the mineral to be used and they want the royalties to be earned on that. In this case, we would try and leverage that and get some support from the Rajasthan government, even in acquisition of land.
Sure. So, sir, if a year or two down the line, what happens if we are able to commence both the projects simultaneously, greenfield and brownfield capacity? Won't that put some strain on our balance sheet? Now that we have worked really hard to clean the balance sheet and reduce the debt substantially, so we would sort of need to relever it?
Look, there are two ways of doing that. One is obviously sequencing the expansion plans and investment in a manner in which the current balance sheet does not come under stress. That will remain the top priority to not bring the balance sheet under stress. But if, let's say, both the investments look lucrative, there are other ways of further strengthening the balance sheet. It's not that if you need so much debt, you only bring in debt. There's always an option for us to increase the net worth, the capital base of the company by infusion of capital. There are many ways of doing that. So to assume that anything is impossible, I don't quite believe, because there are always ways of addressing the problem. Addressing more than a problem, this is now a question of addressing an opportunity. If the option is lucrative, we would find ways and means of meeting, of utilizing the opportunity without creating risk for the balance sheet.
Sure.
With
time, you might see a possibility of maybe, say, if not, if we don't want to take a debt anymore beyond a point, then we might think of diluting some equity. But even at this very lucrative valuation, the stock is trading at relative compared to the industry. So do you think even dilution would be a viable option?
Dilution will be done only if it's a viable option. No. You're putting the question, why would we do diluting if it's not a viable option? Then we will not do it.
Sure. So at current valuation, dilution doesn't make sense, right?
Absolutely not.
That was my only follow-up question.
Absolutely. Sure. At the current valuation, no, certainly not.
Okay, sir. That's all for my
time. When you talk about dilution, let's not forget, one of the ways of not creating dilution is to raise the money through a rights issue, right? Wherever, even if the rights issue goes at a lower price, it's the existing shareholders who benefit from it. So there are many ways to address that, right?
Sure. Okay, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final reminder for questions. After this, there will be no further reminders. If you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kumar Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Wanted to discuss the same question which the earlier participant asked on the balance sheet, because we are looking at a net worth of around 1500 crore currently, and the Devapur and Tiroda project and the WHR and all would be around 2000 crore, even if it is phased out to some extent. This new project also in Rajasthan would cost you anything between 1500 to 2000 crore depending upon the contour of the capex. So for next FY23, maybe next 4 years, we are looking at 4000 crore capex. So what sort of equity infusion could be factored in to keep, and or rather, you know, my question is, what type of net debt to EBITDA number as a company would be comfortable with, and that is how your capex should be factored in.
So Rajesh, I would reiterate what we have said earlier. The board mandated policy is very clear. When we want to make any capex, we are not allowed to exceed debt equity of 1.5. And debt EBITDA to be contained within 3.
On a group level. On a company level.
At the company level, yes.
Okay. So would that not mean, either it is has to be supported with a good amount of big infusion, equity infusion, or staggering the capex beyond, say, over next 6 to 7 years?
Yes, that's a possibility. Let me not rule out any possibility right now. That's why earlier when you were asking me questions, I did tell you that give me some time.
I agree.
So all the answers can't be ready when the scenario in terms of when will the investment be required is not clear right now.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen. We know what kind of timelines it will happen with. That unfortunately, Rajasthan coming in, Tiroda clearances not being in hand, that's become a little uncertain, and that's why I sought time from you people.
Agree, sir. And last question on the regional competitive intensity currently, given that in Maharashtra and the nearby, Maharashtra market, we have 3 new capacities ramp up utilization for next 12 months, Sri Cement, Birla Corp, Dalmia. How is that shaping up the Maharashtra market? And even I understand Birla Corp plant is closer, is close proximity to the Telangana market, whereby they can service the non-trade markets also to ramp up their utilization. What impact are you witnessing because of this? Is it impacting for incumbents like you in terms of your volume growth, or is the pricing getting constrained because of the same, and by when do you see things normalizing?
The last part, let me answer straight away. The things will normalize when the demand growth meets what the new capacity has come in, right? So that's the ultimate, that's the basic economics. So there's no getting away from that. In the meantime, in a sluggish market, when any new player comes in, obviously they would try and take some market, they invested a large sum of money, and they use their own methods which they find appropriate at this time to gain some market share, even if they do it at a loss.
Correct.
So a player like us who's been well established, we will remain very careful about not diluting the brand positioning of ours. Because in a short-term competition, you start diluting a price that you built up over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very long-term damage to the company. Right?
Agreed.
So in the meantime, we are obviously struggling at both the fronts of not being able to do as much volume as we would have done if they were not there. At the same time, we would have also been able to get better pricing if they were not there, which is a reality, which is all about the competitive markets.
Mm-hmm.
So we are obviously having to cope with the impact of new capacities that have come up in our neighborhood, which is like I said, it can never be ruled out any stage in life. But we are also not wanting to make sure that everything stays okay and the price completely crashes and we lose our market positioning, the brand positioning. It's a very tightrope walk, very balanced walk that we have to keep doing.
Mm-hmm. Great, sir. All the best. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is in the line of Ashish Kejriwal from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Good morning, everyone. Sir, is it possible to provide the capex guidance for FY23 and 24? And as well as you talked about the Devapur plant, but about this Tiroda plant, have we started, have you ordered the machineries or Teoda plant also will get delayed? So I mean to ask, can by FY24 and can we see any of the plant coming in, Teoda as well as Devapura, branding unit?
As I just mentioned, there might be a couple of quarters delay in that unless the clearances for Teoda plant do not come very, very quickly. So there is some chance because, as I mentioned, the new, even it's a greenfield grinding unit, it is subject to many approvals. If they get delayed for whatever reasons, so there is no way we can start construction. And unless Teoda grinding unit construction starts, there's no point in our starting construction at Devapur because it is related. That is a related investment.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be some delays, as I've already indicated. I'm not saying there will be delays, but there could be. I'm not ruling that out.
Okay. So Teoda plant grinding unit as well as Devapura grinding and clinker unit, all these will be, there is a possibility of delay. So if this is a situation, what can be our estimated capex for FY23 and 24?
I would not give it back to you unless I also have a how much money I will be putting in Rajasthan in the short term, right? So that's why at the beginning itself I said to assess that, give me some time. I will call you back again for, if not earlier, at least next quarter, we'll give you much clearer picture on that. Because we need to assess, to give you a number without knowing what where Rajasthan might be by FY24. It may be misleading, right? Or premature.
But sir, at least in FY23, can you give some guide? Because, you know, if you have to start the process of acquiring land also, something has to be put in and you will delay the process in Teoda as well as Devapura. So there could be a possibility of some spillover in CapEx which we have guided earlier.
Yes. That's why I already have mentioned. We have said that our CapEx in this year might be about 800 crores. No, it would be smaller than that for sure, as it looks right now. How much would it be, 500 crores, 600 crores, at best perhaps, if that happens. But definitely some, not nowhere close to 800 crores.
Sure. Thank you and all the best, and many congratulations for the mine, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kripal Manyar for his closing comments.
Thank you, Seema. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we would like to thank the management of Orient Cement for providing us this opportunity to host the call, and thanks all the participants for joining the call. Thank you, Seema. You may now conclude the call.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Bye-bye.